Please have opened Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. This evening we come to consider Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32 to verse 56. We come to this message, "Why do you seek Jesus Christ?" And that is where we shall begin. Why are you here this evening? Why have you been coming to church? What exactly is your motive? Your motive may be good and right, or your motive may be wrong. Whatever it is, God knows your heart, and you cannot hide anything from Him. And while you can go on hiding it from other people, God already knows. In the present passage, three sets of miracles are found occurring in succession. And every time a miracle is performed, there is a lesson intended. And surely as we come to consider these three sets of miracles, it's not three miracles, but three sets of miracles that are performed in succession, we come to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ intends us to capture the lesson that He wants to impart to us. And we learn from this passage that we must come to Jesus Christ for the right reason, without which we will miss out on the real blessing. We want to be blessed by God. The Lord Jesus Christ desires to give us His blessing, but you will miss out on the true blessing if you do not come to Jesus Christ for the right reason. And we want to develop this teaching, or draw out this teaching, through four main points that are obvious in this passage. The first point is that Jesus Christ's chief concern is for our spiritual welfare. Now this truth comes across on this occasion when the Lord departed to a deserted place in a boat together with His disciples. They had been working very hard. They had been pressured by the many people around. And in verse 31 we are told, "And He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So in verse 32 we read, "So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." But what happened was that the multitudes of people were still keen on hearing the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting a blessing from Him. So they saw where the boat was heading. The boat was traveling from Capernaum in the northwest of the Sea of Galilee. Imagine the Sea of Galilee. In the northwest, the boat was going to the northeast. And the distance from the shore would be around about 8 miles, whereas the straight line by boat would be about half that distance. So the younger people who went over to the other side of the shore by foot were able to arrive even before the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. And it could be that the wind was against them, and so the boat was slow. And as they rowed, they found that they were being slowed down. But by the time they arrived, a big group of people, most likely the younger people, and the more enthusiastic of the crowd, they were already there. And before too long, there was a huge crowd waiting for them on that side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, how many people were there? It has been estimated that there were easily some 20,000 people. How do we know that? In verse 44, we are told, "Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." Now you must note that in the original Greek, the word men is a reference to males, to literally men. Unlike in English, the word men can be a general term referring to human beings. including males and females and children. But the word used here is specifically a reference to males. And in that culture, they often count by the males. For example, they would count the number of household, and then they would name the household according to the head of the family, the male. And if you were to compare with the same account, or another account of the same incident found in Matthew's Gospel, you would get a clearer picture. If you turn to the front to Matthew chapter 14, and look at verse 21. We are told there in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So you get the point? Back to Mark's Gospel, only the men were counted, and there were about 5,000 men. So if you give the equal number of women, that will make 5,000 women. So altogether, there will be 10,000 people. Then we have not included the children, because Matthew tells us that there were children. So if there were male children and female children, then we would easily put it to 5,000 and 5,000. So in total, we have 20,000. So we believe that there could easily have been 20,000. But in any case, we know that the number of people were far more than 5,000. And so that was the big crowd that was faced by the Lord. And how did the Lord look upon the crowd? When we go downtown, we discover, the traffic jam is everywhere. And if you are in the center of town and near to the bus station, you discover people are just crossing the road everywhere. And while waiting for the traffic light to turn green so that you can drive on, you discover people are crossing the road in big numbers. And when you see the cars moving, finally you discover, there are people waiting along the side of the road to cross. And in the vehicles going around, you discover there are people everywhere. And this is in a nation that is not really very densely populated. You go to a neighboring country, you discover the population is greater, and in the city, you sense the presence of even more people. You go to a place like Hong Kong, you discover there are even more people. You go to a place like China, you can only see the heads. It is a sea of black heads everywhere. See? So a saying has come up in China that in certain cities you go to see the stones, in another city you go and see the heads of the people. And there is a rhyme, Shi Tou and Ren Tou, so there is the Tou rhyme there. See? Now the point is that when we are faced with a huge crowd of people, a multitude of people, what do we exactly see? Do we get uptight and say, this is too much, I can't waste time like this every day traveling in the jam, and you are just wanting to get through the crowd as soon as possible? The Lord often looked upon crowds of people with compassion. His heart went out to them. On one occasion, he looked upon the crowd, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 9. And then, out of the burden of his heart, he told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers." And on this occasion, the Lord similarly looked upon the crowd with great compassion. And we read there in verse 34, the words of the Lord, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." That was how the Lord looked upon the crowds of people. He looked upon them not as a nuisance, but with pity, because these people were like sheep without a shepherd. Now you must understand this expression. Having a crowd known as sheep not having a shepherd means that these people, from the spiritual point of view, are helpless and starving. See? They needed spiritual guidance and protection. They were a people who were exposed to sin and spiritual destruction. They were like sheep that were easy prey for the many wolves that were around. The shepherd has to come and fend these wolves off, otherwise many of the sheep will end up being food to these wolves. And then the sheep needs to be guarded from many dangers, falling down the cliff, being caught in the thorns and bushes and therefore starving to death, or falling into the ditches and there being soaked with water and becoming too heavy, therefore to come out of the brook, and there the sheep will die of cold and hunger. So you see, the shepherd has to watch out for the welfare of the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ, from the spiritual point of view, was looking upon the people in spiritual need like that. This is actually an expression that comes from the Old Testament. It has been used many times in the Old Testament with this meaning in mind. If you can turn just to the book of Numbers to see one example, to Numbers chapter 27, to the fourth book of the Bible, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 27. And you look there at verse 17. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17. We start reading from verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Now, Moses was preparing the congregation to accept Joshua, who was going to take over the leadership over God's people. Moses was getting old. Moses knew that the time was near for him to be called home by the Lord, and God had appointed Joshua to take his place. And he wanted the people to realize that this man appointed by God was for their good, and this man appointed by God was going to act like a shepherd over them, to guide them, and to guide them spiritually. Otherwise, they would not be with any person to show them the way, and the way would be full of dangers. And here is the expression that means that the people were in need of help and guidance, protection, and to be guarded from the many dangers around. So back to Mark's Gospel chapter 6, that was how the Lord looked upon the people at that time. So what we are saying then is that the Lord's chief concern for people is always their spiritual welfare. And they were hungry, spiritually speaking. And hungry people need food. When you are physically hungry, you need physical food. When you are spiritually hungry, you need spiritual food. See? And a person who is weak physically will fall sick easily. If a person is weak spiritually, he will fall sick spiritually. And this is a common sense thing which often we overlook. Now, you don't take care of the food you consume. You take too little or you take too much. You discover you end up with problems. You know very well. If you don't take food regularly also, you end up with problems. You gobble up too much food at one time and then at other times you totally don't have food. Now, you end up with problems. See? This is common sense. If you want to be healthy, then you have to eat well. Otherwise, when your health goes down, you discover that you are prone to sicknesses. You get easily infected. If a virus such as the H1N1 come your way, you will be the first to be stricken down. And while others who may be infected by the virus survive, you will be the one who suffer most, and perhaps you lose your life because your resistance is low. And even if you are not stricken with any dangerous disease, you discover you cannot function efficiently. God gives you a body for you to function well, serving Him and doing well in whatever He has set you to do. Take for example, if you are a student, then your chief duty as a student is to do well in your studies. But if you neglect your spiritual health, your study is going to be affected. For sure it is going to be affected. Just as if you neglect your physical health, your studies will be affected. And surely your spiritual health will also affect you in your studies. You can't think very clearly, and perhaps you could have done even better. You have done well, very good, but you could have done better. But because you have not been eating well, therefore you have not been able to do as well as you could. And similarly, if you are spiritually not healthy, it will affect you. So we are clear. The food that we need affects our performance, affects our health, and it may even affect our life. And in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that, spiritually speaking, they were hungry. They were in need of help. And so you find that He gave them spiritual food. So He began to teach them many things. Sure? Clear now? That the Lord's concern is for our spiritual welfare. He would feed the people with physical food, but His main concern was for their spiritual welfare. That's why the expression is used that He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. That's why He focused on meeting that need by teaching them many things. Then the second point is that Jesus Christ is well able to provide all our temporal needs. There are spiritual needs, there are also temporal needs. When the Lord saw these people, He saw more their spiritual needs rather than their temporal needs. But here were His disciples. The evening was getting on, and these disciples became concerned of the people not having food all day. So in verse 35 we read, "When the day was now far spent, His disciples came to Him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" Stop and consider the scene. The Lord was busy teaching them. The crowd was just hanging on to His words. Everyone was silent, listening to Him. From one topic, He went to another. As He opened up one topic to another, their minds were opened up. They were hungry for the Word of God. They were just receiving the teaching of the Lord. And here came the disciples to interrupt and say to the Lord, "See, the day is far spent. These people are hungry. We should now send them to the villages to find food." See? Now they appear considerate. Don't you think they are considerate? Of course they were considerate. And they were sincere. Don't you believe that they were sincere? Of course they were sincere. They were sincere and considerate. They were kind towards these people. They thought of them and not just themselves. Perhaps their own stomachs have been rumbling, but they were thinking also of these people. If we are hungry, they are certainly hungry. But what did the Lord do? The Lord actually administer a gentle rebuke upon the disciples. Look at verse 36. "Send them away," they say, "to get bread." But verse 37, the Lord answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." See? Now the Lord's response is somewhat strange. But if you can understand that the Lord, instead of showing irritation at the interruption, you see, He gently said to them, you see, "You give them something to eat." Instead of saying, "Oh yeah, I forgot the time, these people must be hungry. Yes, that's a good idea. There are so many of them, so we can't handle them, so let us send them to the different villages, each take care of his needs. Then the problem is solved," you see. But no, the Lord said, "You give them something to eat." Okay? Now, these disciples didn't seem to get what the Lord was saying, so they protested. They said to Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" That means, you see, this is a big crowd. It requires us to spend a big sum of money. And we have to buy all these loaves and all this food and then we carry them to feed this big number. You see, they find the Lord's suggestion somewhat ridiculous. You ask us to do the feeding, which means that we ourselves have to go, and there are 12 of us. We go there to buy, and it costs so much money, and 12 of us carrying that amount of food for these thousands of people. They didn't get what the Lord was saying. But the Lord was actually administering a gentle rebuke upon them. See, the Lord was saying to them, are you more concerned about their physical hunger rather than their spiritual hunger? If you are concerned for them, do you think I'm not concerned for them? I'm more concerned for them than you. I know their needs. And in this case, their need, their greater need, was their spiritual one, not their physical one. They wouldn't die even if they go without food one day. See, there would be time enough afterwards to eat. And with this crowd hanging over his mouth, hearing every word that he was saying, now these disciples unthinkingly came and interrupt and say, these people need food. We must stop now, you see. So they appear considerate, but they actually put their priorities in the wrong place. They actually should not have acted so somewhat self-righteously, thinking for the good of the crowd, when in fact the Lord already knew their need. The Lord will stop at the right time. The Lord will stop his teaching at the right time and send them forth for food. And furthermore, the Lord was going to perform a miracle, and these people need not have to worry about where to get food, how much food they have to buy. See, the Lord was well able to provide for all these people. More importantly, these people needed spiritual feeding. And are we not like that often? We may call ourselves disciples of Christ. We may be Christians, genuinely Christians, unlike many who call themselves Christians but not converted yet. We may be genuinely Christian, but along the way, we need to grow in spiritual sensitivity, grow in understanding the priorities that should be in our lives. Along the way, we focus on things that should be lower down in our priority. Remember Mary and Martha? One was sitting by the feet of the Lord listening to his teaching, and the other was so busy running around. And the one who is busy running around complained to the Lord, Lord, are you not concerned that she is sitting down doing nothing while I'm busy doing all this work? And what did the Lord say to that busy sister? You are over worried. You are worried over much, over nothing. See, she has chosen the better part. She is sitting down, choosing to listen to me. And that is far more important than being busy running around preparing all this food or whatever for everyone. You see? Now there are certain things that can be left aside without the heavens collapsing, without the world coming to an end. These thousands of people wouldn't die if they wait another hour. In that 1 hour, the Lord could have delivered very important lessons to them. But here were the disciples who appeared to be so considerate and kind towards these people, but failing to see that the priority was their spiritual need, and failing to see that the Lord, their Lord, whom they knew better than other people, their Lord was well able to provide their physical need. More important at this time is that they left everything to the Lord. They left the people to hear the teaching from the Lord. So you see now, the Lord decided to do something. You see the kindness of our Lord. Instead of rebuking the people more plainly, more openly in plain language, the Lord let the matter pass. The Lord let the matter pass and said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Okay. They came back and reported, 5 and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, now how can 5 loaves and 2 fish be used to feed these thousands, tens of thousands of people? And the Lord now performed the miracle of multiplying the loaves. And he told the disciples to arrange them into groups. And don't ever get the idea that the Lord was dealing with things in a haphazard manner. The loaves just was thrown to people everywhere. Okay, collect, everybody snatch. No, he didn't do that. Everything was done in an orderly manner. So you see what he's done in verse 39. He commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. See? Now in those days, generally, the men tend to be with the men, the ladies tend to be with the ladies. So they were seated down. So okay, in this group, you see, you divide yourself into hundreds, hundreds, hundreds. So they arrange them. Out of the hundreds, you subdivide into fifties. Okay? So you can see rows of people, groups of people. So when the distribution came, they would look at these few groups of hundreds of people, just a few people come forward and take for all those people. And then they would in turn subdivide into different, the smaller groups. So you see here that everything was done in an orderly fashion. And on that occasion, everyone had their few. Imagine the apostles came, here were five loaves. So they would tear one loaf and give to this group. And amazingly, as they tore one loaf, there was still plenty left. Somehow the loaf just grew. And then as the people sat and ate, they tear to give to the other. Hey, you see, they're sufficient. So each group was given sufficient. And so also the two fish. As they broke off, there was fish left. As they broke off, there was fish left. And this miracle was performed right before their eyes. Just five loaves and two fish, and here were the tens of thousands of people who had enough. And we read that they had their fill. It wasn't that each person was eating sufficient just to fill their stomach. No. See? And the Lord Jesus didn't say FHB. You know what is HB? Maybe you don't know, right? In the old days when we were students, whenever we held a meeting inviting non-Christians to come to the evangelistic meeting, then we find that, hey, there is not enough food. More people come than expected. Then we will say the word FHV, you see. So all the Christians present will know. Family, hold back. That means Christians, please don't eat too much. Let the guests eat first. FHV. So some churches do that as well, FHB. So the word get around. See, all the Christians hold back. Let the non-Christians eat. Let the friends eat. See, we can slowly eat later. Okay? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ even didn't do that. All of them ate to their full, you see? And see there what we are told in this verse 41 onwards. When he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. Note that verse there in verse 42. They all ate and were filled. And not only that, look at verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Fill. The fragments alone fill up 12 baskets. And we don't know how big those baskets were. It could be those big baskets where two persons have to carry, where one would carry a handle each side. Those were bigger baskets. Or it would be the single basket that could be carried by a single person, in which case that would be quite amazing as well. 12 baskets full of fragments. Out of five loaves, two fish, everyone had enough to eat, and there is no such thing as FHB. Everyone ate, including the apostles, and they were all to the full. They ate to the full. And then, on top of that, they collected fragments left over, and there were 12 baskets full. It was an amazing miracle. But that miracle was done to make a statement, which was missed by the people and missed by the disciples. Are we still so obtuse we still do not understand what the Lord was trying to say. Are we, oh friends? Earlier, the disciples were, we believe, genuinely concerned about the people being hungry. But surely there must have been a tinge of self-righteousness in them. And certainly it wasn't wise of them to talk as though the Lord was not concerned about their hunger. They failed to put the priorities right. And they went to interrupt the Lord and say they are hungry. Send them away to get some food. See? And look at the Lord's gentle rebuke. And they haven't grasped that. If you were present, would you not feel somewhat, it stung. We say it stings. So the Lord's words would have stung those who are more spiritually sensitive. Hey, you know, I've been rather self-righteous here and I have been unwise interrupting the Lord in His teaching. Okay? And now the Lord performed that miracle right before their eyes. We say He's making a statement. He's trying to say to the disciples, didn't I tell you that you should have trusted me? All this while you should have trusted me. You should have known me better than that. You see? And we know that the Lord was making a statement because verse 52 later tells us, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. You get the point? Friends, I tell you, when we think of the situation, don't you feel that sometimes this is the point where we should cry? We should cry. Cry because of the hardness of our heart. Cry because the disciples were so hardened they couldn't see. Cry because these people who ate to their fill but couldn't get the message the Lord was saying to them. And cry because our Lord is so compassionate, so kind. He did not openly rebuke them. You see? The Lord was trying to make a statement, but they didn't grasp it. You see? Now, at least, at the very least, one lesson we should not miss on this occasion is this. The Lord is well able to provide all our temporal needs. You see? If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the temporal needs, all the things we need in this world will be provided by Him. He's well able to provide all that we need if only we can trust in Him. It follows therefore that we should be seeking the Lord more for our spiritual need, which people in the world are not seeking. And it should be the spiritual need, our spiritual need that we seek from the Lord, and not food, not the things that we need in this world. But these people totally missed the point. The disciples missed the point, and the people missed the point. And we know that the people missed the point because in the parallel passage in John chapter 6, it's recorded for us. Turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, starting from verse 1, you see the occasion is described. The Lord fed the 5,000, which as we have noted is actually more than 5,000 because that is counting only the men. Then in verse 15 onwards, the Lord walks on the water. Then the people all gathered around, verse 21, and they will willingly receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was on land. Then on the following day, when the people were standing on the other side, they all came to him, and the Lord began to teach them. You see? And in verse 26, the Lord said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal upon Him. Again, you see the sting in the word of the Lord. Are you so obtuse, so thick skin to the point that you can't get what the Lord was trying to say all this while? And here the Lord explained to them, you come to me because you have seen the feeding of the 5,000. You have heard of it, or you have experienced it yourself. You have eaten of the loaves and the fish that I gave on that occasion. And now you come to me because you want this miracle to be performed. You want to gain something physical out of me. When actually you should come to me, the bread of life. You should come to me for eternal life. You should be more concerned of your spiritual need. Oh friends, see how hardened our hearts can be, you see. And the Lord yet performed the miracle for their need. Okay, yes, you're hungry. Here is the miracle. And the miracle was performed to show to them the Lord is well able to provide all our temporal needs. So therefore, do not worry over much about your temporal needs, but seek first the kingdom of God. Come to Him who is the bread of life. Come to Him for eternal life. Come to Him to have your spiritual need filled. You see. Third point. Jesus Christ desires His disciples to have greater faith in Him. From verse 45, what happened is this. The Lord sent the disciples on the boat to cross back to Capernaum. See? And actually they did not land exactly at Capernaum. Instead, they landed south of Capernaum. They were aiming for that region of Bethsaida. Okay? Unusual. This is unusual. Normally, the disciples would be left to control the crowd. But here, the Lord decided to send the disciples over and He would disperse the crowd. So He told the people, it's late. I've given you the teaching I want to give for today. You have all eaten. Perhaps you would say, your children are tired. You need to go home. So they listened to Him. They dispersed. And He Himself went into a quiet place to pray. Okay? And then He came to the shore. And as the sun was setting, He saw them struggling. Why? Because the wind was against them and it was struggling. And again, you see the compassion of the Lord. You see? He decided to go towards them. And how would He go towards them when there's no boat? He just walked on the surface of the water. He just walked. You see? Another miracle was seen by the disciples. He walked and we know from the other account in the Gospel of John, He walked a bit further away from them so that they gradually would see who He was. If He were to suddenly come upon them, they would be even more terrified. As it were, when they saw Him, they were terrified. How could anyone walk on water? And they thought He was a ghost. And this seasoned fisherman who were used to a rough life, who perhaps had been engaged in quarrels with other people before, see, this seasoned and tough man, when faced with other men, became jelly, soft, and frightened when they saw what they thought was a ghost. See? And the words used there in verse 49 show what actually happened. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. They screamed out. The word is that they uttered a sharp sound. For they all saw Him and were troubled. You see, they were troubled. They were agitated. They were fearful. They were terrified. You see, imagine this man shaking in fear and then crying out. Don't know what to do. They were so frightened. You see, and the Lord talked to them. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. You see, and so what happened is, he went into the boat. And immediately he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And now they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. They did not dare to say anything, but each one of them showed on their face. See, they were so amazed. The moment he landed in the boat, the the wind just ceased. Everything was calm, and we are told they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marvel. See. And here the Lord was trying to show to them, you ought to have known me better. Through all these miracles, I have shown to you that I am what I claim to be. I am the Son of God. See? On an earlier occasion, you remember, he was sleeping in a boat. And the storm was brewing. And the disciples were so fearful of their life. And they came to tell the Lord, Lord, are you not concerned that we drowned? You see? And on that occasion, the Lord rebuked the wind and the sea. And straight away, things became calm. The Lord is the master of the whole universe. He is the one who created the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He created all things. God created all things by the power of the Word. It was Jesus Christ who created all things. Therefore, all things created by Him are under His power. All things are under His power. So He has shown it time and again. But these disciples were still unable to see what He's trying to show them. These disciples were still unable to understand what He was saying to them. His disciples, although they respected Him highly, there was so much about Him that was mysterious to them. But up to now, they still haven't come to trust in Him more. Compared to the Pharisees and the scribes who were unbelieving in a rebellious way, these disciples were not unbelieving like that. But nevertheless, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should have been greater. They should have trusted Him more. They should have a higher estimate of Him. See? Because they did not have high enough an estimate of Him, they did not trust Him more. See? And that's why it's recorded for us, for they had not understood about the loves because their heart was hardened. Clearly you can see that those words were not commendable words. If those words were said of you, it means that it is a negative mark. It is not a positive mark. See? These disciples ought to have greater faith in Him. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ desired. When He performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 men, He was trying to say to the disciples, not only that He is the Son of God, He is able to provide all their temporal needs, their focus should more be on the spiritual needs of the people. But to the disciples, He was trying to say, trust me, trust me, trust me in all things. Today, from America has come this expression, trust me. People like to say, you know, trust me. But don't say that. Don't say that to anyone. Because people shouldn't be trusting you. If you know yourself, don't ask people to trust you. You say, but I don't really mean what I say. Then don't say it. Don't say it if you don't mean what you say. And if you mean what you say, then it's wrong. How can you ask people to trust you? Are you in control of everything? You're not God. See, don't use that wrong expression. Don't say to people, trust me. See? But the Lord rightly could say, trust me. So it's better to say, trust the Lord. If we meet our Christian friends, if we are faced with any difficulties, we can say, trust the Lord. Say to yourself, trust the Lord. Say to your friends, trust the Lord. Okay? Trust the Lord. The Lord desires His disciples to have greater faith in Him. And the fourth and last point, Jesus Christ is long-suffering towards sinners who are slow to learn. Look at verse 53. They crossed over. They were perhaps aiming for Capernaum, but because of the waves, they landed a few miles south. Or it may be that in the process of going over, the Lord decided to land at Gennesaret in the south instead. That was a few miles south, and Gennesaret was a place well known for its fertile ground, and the fruits produced there was so beautiful, so good, that there was this story that the in the temple in Jerusalem, the leaders in the temple in Jerusalem would not allow the fruits from Gennesaret to be sold there, because people will go there for the wrong reason. They will go to look for the good fruits in from Gennesaret, you see. So Gennesaret was where they landed, and look what happened, you see. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, and they ran through the whole surrounding region, and they began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever he heard he was. So everywhere he went, people crowd around, and of their own initiative, they go and bring the sick, and bring the lame, bring the blind, everybody who needed healing, and they brought to the marketplace in big numbers, waiting for him to come, and they begged him, just please, let us just touch your clothes, and we will be healed. You remember the woman who had a flow of blood, how secretly he touched the clothes of the Lord, and power from the Lord flowed to her, and she was healed. See? And on this occasion, see, the Lord allowed that to happen. He allowed them to happen. He allowed that to happen. See? But remember the context. All this while, the Lord wanted the people to focus on their spiritual needs, not their physical needs. He was well able to provide what they needed in this world, but what he wanted them to seek from him was more salvation, their own salvation. Their salvation could be found only in the Lord, because for that reason the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. The Son of God came to this world to save us from our sins. No one else can save you from your sin. It is Christ and Christ alone. He came in order to die on the cross to save his people. And he wants sinners to come to him, to seek peace with God through him. He wants us to seek spiritual healing, not physical healing. He's able to heal. He's able to cast out demons. He's able to multiply the loaves and the fish for you. Whatever you need in this world, if he really is aware, he is convinced of your need, you can be sure it will be provided. Why worry so much over your temporal needs and neglect your spiritual needs? See? So the message had been clear. You see? We who have the advantage of hindsight, we who have the scriptures recorded for us, you see, we shouldn't commit the same mistake as the people of that time. We shouldn't commit the same mistake as the apostles who were hardened in their hearts and did not see what the Lord was trying to say to them. We should not miss that lesson, that our concern should be more for our spiritual welfare, that we should come to seek the Lord for salvation, because in him alone is peace with God. There's no other place, no other person who can give you peace with God. Nowhere else that you can find eternal life. So why then be so concerned about food, the food of this world? Your hunger, you see, a life partner, the place where you want to stay, you know, and so on and so forth. The Lord knows your need, and he is well able to provide you all these needs. And if only you will trust him, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added unto you. And here the Lord condescended to these people who were so slow to learn, who were still focused on gaining from him some temporal things, the temporary and physical things of this world. They didn't get the lesson. So earlier they came for food, now they came for healing. So when they wanted food, the Lord condescended by giving them food. Now they wanted healing, the Lord condescended and allowed them to touch his clothes as he went past, and all of them were healed. They were healed. But how sad the Lord must have been to see these obtuse people who could not see what he was trying to teach them. Are you like that? Are you one of those who are so slow to learn? I said earlier on, if there is a proper place to cry, this is a place to cry. You see? To cry over our slowness of heart to learn. To cry over the fact that we are so hardened in our hearts and cannot receive spiritual teaching. To cry over the fact that the Lord was so long-suffering towards slow learners like that. The Lord healed them like what they wanted. And all the while in his heart, he was yearning for them to come and see that their spiritual need was more important, that they should have come to him to have eternal life. And as we draw to a close, you see, this is the right place to appeal to you, to consider your need. Your true need is spiritual in nature. It is not your food. It is not your job. It is not your children's education. It is not earning more money. It is not finding a life partner. It is not going to a country that is more conducive to living. All these things are legitimate in their proper place. But if you place more importance on these than your spiritual need, oh friends, how misplaced you are in your priorities. Come to the Lord. Repent of your sins. Turn to the Lord for mercy. He is the compassionate God who continues to stretch out his arm to call upon sinners to come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh friends, make tonight the night when you repent of your hardness of heart. Make tonight the night when you repent of your worldliness and your self-centeredness. Friends, make tonight the night of your salvation. Give yourself to the Lord. Plead with him to have mercy on you, and he will give you rest. Thank you.